going to fool you on that. They're going to tell you, oh, we can't tighten up that tight. You're going to have to, you have to lose some services. Yeah, well, I would rather not have to pay taxes on the house that I live in. I mean, that's more, I feel more secure with that than providing me with parks and dog, you know, dog places to poop and stuff like that. I'd rather just not. I wouldn't even mind cutting the sheriff's department in half. Just cut it in half. We're supposed to be responsible for our own safety.
Well, Larry Downs Jr. is nothing if not entertaining. And so in his comments at the county commission meeting last week, a friend, also a super weird philosophical guy, but I like Larry. He's, like I said, entertaining. He says things nobody else will say. Not always good, not always bad. But he says, I'd be happy cutting the sheriff's department budget in half. I'll take care of my own safety. You take care of your own safety. We don't need so many stinking cops. Sheriff Sheriff Chip Simmons.
One of those stinking cops.
One of those stinking cops. Although I've never noticed you smell. So, you know, I mean, Sheriff,
not
welcome back.
Close enough, maybe.
Fair enough. On a hot day. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. What would it look like if we cut your agency in half?
Well, I mean, first of all, I love this country. I love the fact that people can give their opinion, can say what they want to say. Larry and I are friends, and everyone has their opinion. And I believe that while people like Larry can certainly defend himself, I'm not so sure if everyone else can. And I think that law enforcement, we exist to protect those that need protecting. And that's why I got in the job in the first place.
So if half of your staff was cut, if half your budget was cut because of the property tax referendum, it wouldn't be half, but if it were cut significantly, what would that really practically look like on the ground?
If the budget itself was cut, I mentioned before that 92% of our budget, as budgeted, is personnel.
Right.
And so if you're talking about a half cut, which that's not even what they're talking about, but
that'd be what, 200 and 200 and a quarter deputies? If you cut half?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you got about 450, right?
450, yeah. It's about 2 1/4. Yeah, that would be huge. But, again, I don't know that we need to go there yet.
So that would be response times. That would be extra. The people would not be available for extra security. That would be presumably guardian. Well, guardians are kind of funded by the school. But, I mean, that's a lot of change.
We train them.
Yeah.
But if we have to cut our staff, then obviously we may not be able to train them either.
So right, yeah.
There would be those situations.
Let's talk about other things. I just thought you would enjoy having a chance to respond to that. And I love your first answer, which is, you know, hey, I love this country that allows people, even who say crazy things, to say them, which is the whole idea, the First Amendment.
That's why you got a job.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, Larry Downs Jr. has a public forum, and I have this show. That's exactly right. You had an overnight pursuit with a stolen car?
Yeah, you know, our deputies, speaking of the deputies that are out there in the street protecting people, we have a couple of different deputies. This is Deputy Nori. And he also had a trainee with him, Finley. They located a 2024 Hyundai, I guess, Tucson, and it was stolen. So they tried to stop it. And as they do sometimes late at night and early in the morning, they fled. We chased the car about 3 minutes. The car crashed into a concrete bollard in a closed parking lot on Pace Boulevard. Anyways, the guy got out and ran. We set up a perimeter as we do. And then a resident of a home on West Maxwell says, hey, there's a broken window on my property. And we go over there and we see blood all over the window. And we go inside and we locate Savario Champion. Obviously placed him into custody, charged him with the break-in. He had some lacerations to both arms. I'm not sure if that was from the car chase or the car crash or the break-in,
the window,
but
right.
probably the window. He treated at Baptist Hospital, by the way. During the investigation, we searched the vehicle, and what did we find? We found fentanyl, and we also found numerous stolen items from other incidents this past weekend. So at least two other cases where this guy was responsible for stealing stuff. A bag was located with a stolen vehicle's keys, also a firearm, and Champion's ID. So he was kind enough to put his ID in there with a gun and the stolen property.
If another thief makes off with your stolen property, you want to make sure it gets back to you.
Yeah, you can call the cops and say, hey, my ID's in there.
I mean, you can put like a luggage tag on the stolen Glock, yeah. You know, and then make sure that if somebody else steals it from you and the cops find him, you get your gun back belongs to somebody else.
Society wants to thank him for that, so we do appreciate that. I know the prosecutors will. We also had outstanding warrants and... by the way, he's a 9-time convicted felon.
Oh, come on. Nine times?
Yeah. I think we're going to add a couple of felonies to that.
Good Lord.
At least one, two, three, four, five, whatever. It's a lot.
Okay.
So good job by our Deputy Norrie and his trainee, Finley. Good job.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. There hasn't been a lot of other kind of high-profile incidents. I want to give you credit for that. You know, we talk about the ones when there are ones, and, you know, when there aren't any, we'll say that. We did have a big story. The PNJ kind of broke it. I had heard rumors about this. Actually, somebody had said, you know, you ought to look into this. I'm like, I'll have Chip in on Tuesday. We'll talk to him about mm-hmm. it then. Talk command structure just for a second so people get the sense of the significance of this. So there's you. Then you have two chief deputies, Tommy Leiter and Andrew Hobbs. And then you have – what's after that?
Commanders.
How many? Three commanders?
We have three commanders.
Three commanders. And then the next layer would be the colonels, and you have six? Typically, is that right?
Yes.
Six colonels, now five, but six.
Right.
So she was at that layer of the administration. What happened?
Well, we got a word from the Milton Police Department that they were investigating her for a felony. And
she lives in Milton?
I don't know where she lives.
I didn't understand the relationship of Milton to all this, so that's why I asked.
I believe the victim lives in Milton.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, got it.
Yeah. So
Milton issued a warrant.
Right, and once they issued the warrant, and we read the probable cause statement, we informed her that she was going to be under investigation and likely terminated. She chose to resign or retire.
Okay,
and she did that just prior to actually being charged.
So 19 years in, something like that.
I think she has 25 or 26 years.
Oh, okay, my math. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Long, well enough to be retirement age. Okay, go ahead.
That's correct. She was the colonel over our mental health unit. That was her niche, and that was all she was over. She wasn't was in a unique situation. The News Journal erroneously reported that she was over some other things, but that's not true.
Okay, so because it said she was – oh, I had it here, but they said some other elements of her super – that she was over, but it was only the mental health unit.
That's correct.
Got it. Okay.
They said that she was over a number of other things, but we have Colonel Don James is actually over the SROs and those other positions.
Okay.
So anyways, Mindy Young, obviously we have standards at the sheriff's office where certainly in the command staff, we expect everyone to uphold those standards. And being charged with a felony does not bode well for that. So she's no longer an employee at the Skim County Sheriff's Office.
And in this case, the alleged felony is harassing her husband, who they're not divorced yet, but he's apparently living with somebody else. There was some property damage. There were some threatening statements. There's a variety of things that are kind of in that genre, but her behavior was enough that you knew she'd have to be put on at least on during an investigation on desk duty, and then after that,
she was on leave.
She was on leave. Okay, so not desk
duty. As soon as we knew that the investigation involved a felony, so we went ahead and took her.
Got it.
Her cars and her guns and all that sort of thing.
And the only reason I ask that is because as opposed to when a deputy's involved in a shooting, they are on mandatory desk duty, which does not presume any guilt and does not presume any felony by them. But this was. The investigation of a felony would mean that it's prudent to put her on.
She was simply on leave.
On leave.
She was not to work at all in any capacity until we get more clarity with regards to their investigation. Once we got that, that clarity, it was, you know, again, we don't need a conviction. I just need to look at the probable cause statement and determine that that's something that we can't employ.
I mean, reaction to this, a fairly high level, you know, leader of yours and.
I didn't promote her. She was a colonel when I took over at the sheriff's office. But we did find a niche for her. Again, this mental health. She was a licensed mental health counselor, and we were able to use her as our part of our internal mental health, which we will now direct.
Okay, so when people are dealing with trauma from any incident, they can go to her or go to the people that she's overseeing and talk. And that was her responsibility?
That's correct. It was also always an option to go to EAP. Or you can go.
What's EAP?
Employee. Basically, it's a service that we provide for mental health.
Okay.
For counseling and therapy and such, and most agencies, most governmental agencies will give you three free visits, and then after that, your insurance has to kick in. So they've always had that option. So and now that will be the only option that we'll have.
Okay.
At least in the short term.
Okay. Anything else you want to clarify? Talk. I mean, I know in a lot of ways, you know, you're not involved in all the particulars of the case. It's obviously it's a kind of a soap opera sort of story, but, you know, cops are also people. And we always have to remember that cops are people, and that means that sometimes they, you know, have unhealthy things in their lives. Sometimes they have very virtuous things in their lives. But any other comments you want to make about this?
No, you know, she had a career at the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to lose sight of that.
Yep.
But again, I mentioned that we have We have certain standards, and we have standards certainly for our command staff and the position that, that she held. I'm obviously disappointed in it. I hope that she can end up getting past this, and I hope the victims can get past this as well. But her career at the sheriff's office is complete.
You guys did an active shooter training at on campus with UWFPD recently at one of the dorms. Yeah, I was talking to Chief Roman Jackson about that a little bit. So
exactly, that's it. I mean, you know, we work very well with the UWF Police Department because they're obviously in our jurisdiction. And
what do they have, like 25 officers, 20?
I don't know what they have.
Okay.
I know Roman Jackson very well.
I feel like that's in the vicinity.
He was a high-ranking employee at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office before he got this job. And so we take every opportunity to train with the other agencies that we partner with, and certainly UWF we do that with. And then they were able to, luckily enough, they had some dorm rooms and some areas that weren't being used because the school was, I guess, during summer recess as well. And so we had some really high-quality training because you never know where an incident might take place. And one building, while it's a little different than other buildings, it does give you some training opportunities. So we took advantage of that. So we really appreciate that.
Novel situations are always a good opportunity to train and make sure that you're applying what you know in unusual circumstances, you know, working with other agencies, because God forbid you have to respond to college campus. It's better to be able to interact effectively, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not the first time that we've had. We had an incident a couple of years ago where Pensacola Christian College, we had an active shooter call, ended up being a misunderstanding. But certainly with all the buildings and trying to figure out what building's what and how do you clear a 5 and 10 story building is obviously something that we don't train with very much. And when you're given that opportunity,
With them lately? Do they have a police department? They have a security force? What's their
Pensacola Christian College? They have
PCC
security, but they don't have a police department.
Okay, so you guys are the police. Well, actually, got to think about it. They're in the city now? Baptist is in the city. They're in the county, right?
That's correct.
PCC is in the county. Okay. Donut strike for Manna? This week, right? Early next week?
What is this, fifth or sixth year in a row?
Yeah.
I guess it starts this morning, but I know the police department, the sheriff's office, the fire departments, they're all getting together. The thought there is that, we're going to law enforcement. We love donuts, apparently. And, we're going to stay off donuts until we raise a lot of money or a lot of food.
This hits some deputies harder than others.
Probably does. Yeah. I'm not really a big donut either. So
I know
like,
you're not much of a donut.
I don't care, more of a
burger and steak guy. So.
So anyways, the bottom line is the money and the food goes to Manna, and having been on the board Manna for, the board member, for Manna, I know that the food stays here local. And that's very important to me.
That's a great organization. It's one of the 4, 5, 6 organizations that we give our money to all the time because, you know, we believe in what they do, doing the gospel. You know, we love what they do. Concealed carry rules have changed again. It seems like almost every week we wake up to something new. Now the rule is that a court has decided that 18 to 20-year-olds cannot be discriminated against via the rule that says they cannot concealed carry. James Uthmeyer, the attorney general, has said that we're not going to work on this anymore. So it's a law now. It's practice anyway in the state. 18 to 20-year-olds can conceal carry, right?
That's correct.
They can't buy a pistol. And I think they still cannot. The rules change so much. I don't think they can still buy shotguns and rifles, but we're working on that part. But yeah, they can be gifted a weapon, and they can conceal carry a handgun if they're gifted it, right?
I honestly think all this is just a matter of time.
Agreed.
Things all come into alignment. We're a Second Amendment state. We're certainly a Second Amendment county. And so the change doesn't really affect us, except for we approach somebody, you know, trying to buy a weapon. And we say, okay, guys, y'all sort this thing out. So it is we have been given, you know, some direction on that, but their direction is basically what you just said. They can now carry concealed.
Yeah, and so, for example, things that in the past, if you see a young-looking person and they happen to lift their shirt inadvertently, you see a gun in the past, that would have been a probable cause perhaps for a stop and question. At least now, not anymore, because unless you have reason to believe they're 15 or a former felon.
Well, yeah, and you can still stop, and if you have reason, like I said, they may be a former felon, then they're not supposed to to carry. But and if someone feels concerned about it and there might be brandishing it or fearing that they may be brandishing it, we can stop and talk to somebody. But then ultimately we'll find out. We haven't made any arrests for that. So we're not out there looking for 19-year-olds that were concealed carry in the first place.
Right.
And so it's not something – unless you're running from the cops in a car and you're a 9-time convicted felon.
And you have fentanyl in your ID and all the other things.
We have different opinions on those types of characters.
And I periodically ask, has the changes in open carry, concealed carry, permitless, now 18 to 20-year-old concealed carry – have any of these changes been issues? Are you seeing a lot of people open carry in Escambia? I still haven't seen but one in the year.
I don't know that I've seen any, and I'm not aware of any issues at all. Obviously, we've let our deputies know so that if they see something, my thought is that they will evaluate it, visually, and then, okay, that looks like they're in an area where they can conceal carry or open carry. And so it's not been an issue.
I thought it'd be more of an issue that some stores have said that, we don't prefer you to open carry in our stores. I thought there'd be more of a little bit, conflict over that. And it just seems like it's all kind of fizzled. Like everybody's fine. Everybody's fine. Just doing whatever they're doing.
Well, we talked about this before. A lot of people didn't realize. I think Alabama's open carry, Tennessee's mm-hmm. open carry. And no one knew it because people weren't actively doing it.
Right, right.
Because again, it's not as convenient as you think it is. You strap a gun to your side and you go to a store parking lot and realize, well, dang, I can't carry in there. I can't carry in there. I got to take it off and put it somewhere. So it's not as convenient as one would think that it is. My assumption is people are doing more concealed carry still. And again, if you conceal carry correctly, mm-hmm. then no one will know about it.
Jeb Simmons, the Escambia County Sheriff. Sir, thank you so much. Oh, go ahead.
I do want to clarify one thing that we talked about with Colonel Vanosh Young. She was over the internal mental health part, but she was also over the co-responder unit, which is where we partner with a Lakeview clinician.
Got it.
But there's also a supervisor over that, and it doesn't affect that at all. We're going to continue with our co-responder unit.
Okay.
And then again, we will filter our internal employees that have a need to our EAP program or to a personal provider.
Excellent. Very good. Right. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time, for what you do, keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.